Hi, and thank you for tuning in for daytime Bible study with us here at Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning giving thanks to you for your Word, that you allow us to study your Word together. I pray, Father, your blessing upon all who are watching this. I pray, Lord, that you would open our understanding of Scripture. Teach us things, Lord. Draw us closer to you, and draw us closer to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So, where we left off last week, I asked you to circle the word gospel in four different places. So, I hope you have that circled. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, so please take your Bibles out. And if you haven't already circled them, just quickly take a moment and in verse 2, circle the word gospel. And again, in verse 4, circle the word gospel. And then in verse 8 and verse 9, also circle the word gospel in each of those verses. Now, the reason I want us to examine this is because, again, when the Spirit of God repeats something in a passage, there's usually something that's very important in there for us to grasp and understand. So we're going to lean on the Lord and ask him to help us understand why this word gospel here is repeated. Now our study today is going to be verses 7 through 13, with the emphasis being what we get from the reoccurrence of these words, of this word gospel in the preceding verses. So take a quick look, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." So we have to understand that we have been approved by God. God has called us. God has equipped us. And he has entrusted to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have a responsibility to try and share the good news of the salvation that's available through Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to share that with people who may not yet know that, or people who have heard of Jesus but have not yet understood what the importance is that Jesus has in their own life. So we have a responsibility. Now, does that mean that each and every one of us are called to be evangelical leaders, people that will stand in front of a stadium filled with thousands of people? Maybe not. There may be someone out there that's called to be the next Billy Graham or another Greg Laurie. But that may not necessarily be the case, because the Lord wants to use each and every one of us, right? One man at a time, one woman at a time, one child at a time, to reach one man at a time, one woman at a time, one child at a time. Yes, there's a place for large-scale evangelism, but the Lord Jesus Christ wants relationships developed. So I want you to take a look at this. Follow along, beginning at verse 7. Now this is Paul, again, referring to himself and Timothy and Silvanus as they were there in Thessalonica ministering the word to the Thessalonians as they were trying to establish a church there, Thessalonians. So here in chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Now Paul likens his entire ministry team of himself, Silvanus, and Timothy as being motherly. So automatically we're going into a relationship. This is a relationship that Paul is talking about. So Paul took time while he was there in Thessalonica, he took time to get to know the people that he was ministering to. You see, Jesus is not impersonal. And when we're presenting the gospel, When we're telling people about Jesus, we're also not to be impersonal. Okay, again, I understand. There are times when we're walking along somewhere and maybe we're in a line at a grocery store, or maybe we're encountering someone while we're pumping gas and an opportunity presents itself to speak words of encouragement to someone, to speak words of grace and love that someone needs to hear. By all means, yes, if the Spirit of God puts that on your lips to speak, please speak it and rejoice that the Lord gave you that. But for the most part, the Lord wants us ministering to one another in ways that establish relationships, in ways that show the reality of Christ through a relationship with Christ. So for example, Paul says, "We were gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So cherish the person that you have the opportunity to speak the gospel to. Recognize that they have faults, that they have limitations, that they have weaknesses. And don't scorn them for that. Don't look down upon them for that. Rather, embrace them. Help them to understand that you yourself are not perfect. There's no Christian that's perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. As Christians, we realize and we recognize that we have received forgiveness for our sins, that we receive the inworking of the Spirit within us to help us turn away from the things that we have always done that are so sinful, so depraved. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to help us change. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to help that person that you're ministering to change. So it starts by getting to know someone, establishing relationships, come alongside someone, particularly new believers. Now, this is who Paul is talking to in Thessalonica. He's helping these. First, he goes there on his missionary journey and he declares who Jesus Christ is. And some believe. Now, we talked about that again when we began our study. I took you into the book of Acts and we looked at a couple of different places and I showed you how Paul began the ministry there. So, but as he's ministering to them, he doesn't just say, "You need Jesus," and then takes off. He spends time. He develops relationships with the people there. And in the course of developing relationships with the people there, he finds out what it is they need. So for some people, maybe they need relationships. Maybe they're having relationship problems. So he helps them understand how they can find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For others, maybe they feel like they're walked on all the time by other people. So he shows them how they can develop strength through Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ can be their strength. So the point is, take time to get to know someone. Just ask gentle questions. Probe a little bit if you feel like you need to, but don't be offensive about it. When you meet someone, particularly in ministry, as you're going about your day-to-day around the church, with your family, with your friends, with your life group, get to know people. Find out what makes them tick. Find out where they're hurting. Find out how they respond to certain external situations. No two people respond to things in the same way. But Jesus wants these people that we have opportunities to minister to, he wants them to know whatever you need, Jesus is the one. I, Jesus, am the one that you need. So if you have relationship problems, you need to focus on Jesus. Develop a relationship with Jesus first. And trust him that he will repair or restore the relationship that has you down in the dumps. If you suffer with anxiety, then you need to focus on Jesus Christ and realize that he's ready to give to you his peace. There are so many promises in the gospel of his peace. So help someone to understand, you know, if you're suffering from anxiety, there's peace in Christ. If you're suffering from depression, there's joy in Christ. So you want to spend time getting to know someone. And that's kind of the emphasis here where Paul says that just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, when you have an opportunity to minister to someone, cherish that person, love that person, really and truly come alongside of them, take an active interest in them, share their misery, share their pain, point them to Christ through whatever it is they're going through, and let them know that you're right there with them. I'm here to pray with you about this. I'm here to cry with you about this. And when God gives you victory, I'm here to rejoice in this with you. We're in this together. That's why Jesus had told us, told his disciples in the Gospel of John that we need to love one another. You see, the world is bitter enough towards us. The world hates us because we love Jesus Christ. And the world hates Jesus Christ, but they also hate us, right? So the world hates Jesus and they hate us as well. So with all that's going on around us, people trying to tear us down, we need to cling to one another. How much more so when we have a young believer, a new believer, a baby Christian, so to speak. And that's who Paul is ministering to, is baby Christians. So as you go around and you're sharing, you're doing your role to share the gospel of Christ, you want to be loving on them because they need that. The world is about to turn on them. They just turned their back on the world, and the world is out to get them. So they need to know that they have Jesus Christ that they can run to. And my friend, you might be that only representation of Jesus Christ that they have for right now, until Jesus manifests himself truly in their life. They're coming to Jesus by faith, and they need to see examples of Jesus in each of us. So take an active interest, love on those people. And that's what Paul says in verse 8. He says, "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." So in verse 8, Paul is even acknowledging the fact we affectionately longed for you. There's a type of love that we have for you, young Christian, that just we can't even describe it with words, but we can show it in our actions. We want you to see how we live. We want you to see how we pour into you. We are available to pour into you. We want you to see that Jesus Christ loves you. And we're thankful that Jesus has filled us with so much love for you that it overflows. We can't even contain it. We just spill it onto you. Here's some love. Take that love that spills out from us onto you. And part of that has to do with how we impart the gospel. So the gospel message is important. Don't forsake teaching the gospel, right? But as you're teaching the gospel, you're teaching it with love. Not just saying, "I love you," but you're demonstrating by your actions. You're demonstrating by making them feel important. You're demonstrating that you love them. Someone that has relationship issues, right? They need to understand they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're the one that Jesus wants ministering to that person about relationships with him. Okay, then the best way to do that is to be an example of Christ. Make yourself available to have a relationship, appropriate relationship with that person. Because the relationship that you ultimately want them to have is with Jesus Christ. So you're pointing them to Jesus Christ. If anything, you just want to be an example to them of what a relationship with Jesus Christ could look like. Now, don't make the mistake of trying to position yourself as Jesus Christ. You are not anyone's savior. You do not have the power or ability to save. None of us do. But we can humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Spirit to fill us with Jesus' love for that person or these people that we're ministering to. And let that love flow through us. Just picture yourself like a straw, right? Fluid flows straight through that straw. The straw doesn't do anything to affect the color or the flavor of the beverage that's going through it. It doesn't do anything to restrict the flow of the beverage that's going through it. It just is a channel to get that beverage from one place to another. So you want to be God's straw. You just want the love of Jesus Christ to flow through you into the person or people that he has asked you to minister to. And then again, remember I was telling you that Paul lived with the Thessalonians night and day. So the Thessalonians were able to see how Paul was when he woke up first thing in the morning, right? Some people, they wake up first thing in the morning and they're cranky and groggy, but then you give them their breakfast and a cup of coffee and they're good to go. Others, they can spring up and they're just ready to go instantaneously, but then later in the day, they crash and they get cranky and grumpy. So Paul lived with these Thessalonians day and night, and he demonstrated Christ's love all throughout the day. Again, I'm not saying Paul was perfect, but the point is, Paul is a tent maker, just as an example. Paul is a tent maker, and he's earning his living while he's there. We talked about this again last week. He's earning his living. He's building tents. He's installing tent pegs or whatever the case may be. Now, these Thessalonians see Paul constructing a tent one day, and he strikes his thumb with the hammer. How does Paul respond? Does he yell out expletives, or does he just kind of shake it off and keep going, maybe say a quick little prayer and not get angry and not start cursing and yelling at everyone around him, right? So that's part of the way that Paul manifests that love of Jesus Christ. It's not just only towards people, but it's a reflection of how we carry ourselves each and every day. So Paul has imparted the gospel and also their entire lives. Invest in someone. Show someone that they are dear to you. Show someone that they are dear to Christ. That's what it comes from. You see, we can't, if we're trying to do this on our own power, it'll fall apart. But if we are able to see other people the way Jesus sees them, then other people would become so dear to us that we would almost feel compelled. Lord, I'm thankful that you give me this opportunity to pray with this brother. I'm thankful that you give me the opportunity to help this brother turn his eyes towards you in the midst of this crisis that he's going through. So show that person how dear they are to the Lord Jesus Christ by showing them how dear they are to you personally. Pray about that. The way that will happen is through prayer. When you're praying to the Lord, asking the Lord to help you, Lord, I want to come alongside of this person that you've brought into my life at this point in my walk with you. I want to help them. Would you fill me, Lord, with your Spirit? Would you give to me the words that you want me to speak to that person? Would you show me the actions that you need this person to see that demonstrate your love to this person? Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil. Again, Paul worked while he was there. He says, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. So yes, Paul worked while he was there. He didn't go to this town and ask people to support me while he's there. No, while he's there ministering to them, while he's there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, he's also working, earning his own living. You have to remember, in this day and age, They didn't have Marriott hotels. They didn't have Holiday Inn. They didn't have Motel 6. There were no hotels. So when he went to Thessalonica, it's customary in those days for someone to take them into his home. And as we found out, I think the gentleman's name was Simon. That was in Acts, I want to say chapter 17. Nope, not Simon. The man's name was Jason. So it's in Acts chapter 17 where this church in Thessalonica was founded. So apparently Paul had received housing from this man, Jason. But what size family does Jason have? Paul, in order to not take away from Jason, still continued to work his own profession, his own trade, earning his keep so that he did not have to deprive Jason's household of any bread, earning his keep so that he could go out and obtain his own water for bathing and his own soap for bathing so that he does not have to deprive Jason's household of these critical necessities. So Paul worked there night and day, laboring. And while he did that, verse 9 tells us that he still preached to the Thessalonians the gospel of God. So carry yourself in a way. We all have a responsibility to carry ourselves in a way that demonstrates Christ, right? Be out there earning an honest living. There's nothing wrong with a good, hard day's work. As a matter of fact, it's quite rewarding. So you need to be gainfully employed. Position yourself as an example of how Christ can provide for you through gainful employment. Position yourself as one who can demonstrate that the Lord will always provide for you, that the Lord has given you the ability to do the trade or job that you have, that you have the skill because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So acknowledging what the Lord has provided for you and the talents that he has given to you. And then maybe your workplace is the place where God wants you to share the gospel. Again, you don't have to take your Bible and beat people over the head with it, but when the Lord gives you the opportunity to speak to someone about him, take advantage of that. Say a quick little prayer. Lord, what would you have me to say? And how would you have me to say it so this person recognizes that you love them? Not me. I'm not trying to win them over for myself. I'm trying to let you win them over, Lord, for your own self, for your own name's sake. So be an example. Be an example in how you carry yourself. Be an example in how you work. If you're retired, that's awesome because now you're demonstrating that the Lord gave you this prosperous career, and in your retirement, he still is going to take care of you. So in whatever way you can, you want to be that example, and you still want to minister to others. And Paul continues in verse 10. He says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." So Paul is not perfect, but when Paul makes mistakes, I think what he's saying here is that when he made mistakes, he was quick to repent. He was quick to pray and ask for forgiveness. If he caused another person to take offense, I'm sure he apologized to that person. When he became angry, I'm sure that if he had an outburst, that he would go back and he would apologize to the person or people that he offended. And he would also ask the Lord for forgiveness. He's demonstrating these things. You're not trying to position yourself as being perfect. You want other people to see that you are equally as human as they are. You are equally as frail as they are. Okay, you're no better than them, and you're no, some of us probably are worse than them, but we have forgiveness in Christ, and we are blameless. We're blameless because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're blameless because we have put our faith in his promises, that his sacrifice is fully sufficient for us, that we have life, that we have salvation in him and through him. So behave yourselves in a way that points people back to Christ. Yes, that man just made a mistake, but when he made a mistake, he pointed me to Christ, or whatever the case may be. Okay? Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So again, you see relationships. Paul brings relationships into this. A father, also like a mother, knows their child very well. And a father, when a child makes mistakes, when a child does something wrong, that child, that father will correct that child and charge them to do better next time. So Paul is doing that as well. So you can only do this if you're invested in someone. You don't want to walk up to a new believer who's struggling with something, right? And then you don't even have a relationship with them yet. And then you want to tell them how ashamed they need to be because of whatever that was. No, they just put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have nothing to be ashamed of anymore. The Lord is working in them to turn them away from whatever that was that they were struggling with in the past. Now you have the opportunity to develop a true and meaningful relationship with them and to help them as the Lord is convicting them of the things that the Lord wants to work in them and change in them. You can exhort them. Okay, God brought you through that. Now, turn away from it. You don't have to keep doing this anymore. I know it's a struggle for you. I know it's painful and I know it's difficult, but you don't have to keep doing this anymore because Jesus loves you and because I love you too. And I don't want to see you fall back into that trap any more than Jesus wanted to see you fall back into that trap. Jesus is the one that pulled you out of that trap, and he wants you to stay out of that trap. So just like a father would charge all of his children, that's what Paul is saying that he did here in Thessalonians. He's so invested in them. He knows them so well that when they make mistakes, he can lovingly correct them without making them feel like he's talking down to them or making them feel like he's belittling them. He can encourage them in ways. He can encourage them to come out of their sinful behaviors, out of their weird patterns of behavior. So this is exhortation. This is comforting to one another. There's a way to say things to people that comforts them. There's a way to say things to people that exhorts them. And there's a way to say things to people that shows you truly care. You're saying this because you care for them, because you love for them, because they are so dear to you in the same way that they are dear to our Savior Jesus Christ. So in verse 11, Paul says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, here in verse 12, I know a lot of times when we see that phrase, walk worthy of God, whoa, that is such a frightening phrase, right? How can we walk worthy of God? Well, I want you to understand the context in which Paul is using this. In the original Greek language, the word worthy that he's using, here he's basically saying, walk appropriately, right? So you have been saved. You are a Christian. You're trying to minister Christ to other people. Now, as you're ministering Christ to other people, it's not just the words that you say. It's the actions that you do. It's your deeds. It's your ways. It's the way you live, the way you carry yourself. So walk appropriately. Live an appropriate Christian life so that the people you're ministering to, when they look upon you, will see you as a role model, if you will. Someone that they can pattern themselves after as you try to pattern yourselves more and more after Christ each and every day. So let your reality, let the way you live, speak into the lives of the people that you have the opportunity to share this precious gospel with. That's walking worthy. That's how Paul is saying to walk worthy. And remember, Paul did that because Paul lived among these Thessalonians night and day. They didn't only see Paul after he had gotten up in the morning and showered and shaved and put on his work clothes and went out to work, right? They didn't only see him when he's at his best. They also would have seen him at the end of a workday when he's sweaty, nasty, tired, hot, probably hungry, right? I don't know, maybe Paul got hangry? But they see him in every aspect of his life while he's living there, right? His point is that he would live appropriately. He would pattern himself after Christ, encouraging them to pattern themselves after him. So that's what we are to do in turn. He wants us to walk worthy, live our lives appropriately. We say we're Christians, then let people see that in the way that we live. We say we love the Lord, then let people see that in the way we live. It's not just the things that we say. It's not just us walking around waving a Bible. It's not just us spouting out a couple of memory verses. It's us demonstrating that the Word has transformed us, that our minds have been renewed, that Jesus Christ has made us a new creation. So it's the way we live. If we are living lives that are appropriate for Christians, we no longer do some of the things that we once used to do. Okay? We no longer hang out with some of the people that we once used to hang out with. We have a new set of friends. We have a new family in Christ. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them a little bit more mature in the faith than us, and some relatively new to the faith, newer to the faith than us. So the ones that are more mature in the faith are helping us, and the ones that are newer in the faith, we're helping them. And it's the way that we live, it's the words that we speak, it's our attitudes, it's our mannerisms, the way we conduct ourselves. So that's what Paul means here in verse 12 when he says, walk worthy of God. Live a life that's appropriate for being a Christian. And then he says, because it's God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Again, I pray that all of you realize that none of us can earn our salvation. Salvation is a free gift that's given to us by God. All we have to do to receive that salvation is simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God sent Jesus Christ to lay down his life for us. Because all of us, every single one of us, has fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us are sinners. And all of us need to be saved from the penalty of sin. And that salvation from the penalty of sin only comes through Jesus Christ. So God has called us into his own kingdom and glory. Don't think that you earned it. You're not saved because of anything you did. You're not saved because of anything you bought and could give to God. You're saved simply because you believed in his son, Jesus Christ. You responded to the gospel. Now keep that in mind as you're sharing the gospel with others. Other people will be saved when they hear the gospel. They might be saved because you took some time and shared the gospel with them. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful thought to think that you might be walking around in some point in eternity in the future. You might be walking around heaven and someone walks up to you and says, hey, I'm here because you said something to me back on earth And it kind of resonated. I didn't respond right away, but I eventually responded. So I just want to tell you, you know, thank you for telling me about Jesus. I think that's awesome that the Lord is going to let us be able to see people that brought us into the faith and that we brought into the faith. Again, the Spirit of God did the work, but He allows us to be that tool in His hand that does the work. So just remember that we are saved by His grace, not by anything that we have done or can do. The things that we're talking about doing, we do as an outward expression of our salvation, as an outward expression of our love for the Lord, as an outward expression of our love to the people that God has called us to minister to. We don't do these things because we think we'll be saved by doing them. We do these things because we're saved, and we want other people to learn about Jesus Christ and be saved as well. And then verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So again, Paul is ministering to these Thessalonians, and he is thankful that they responded to the gospel. I'm thankful that I responded to the gospel when someone shared it with me. I'm sure you're thankful that you responded to the gospel when someone shared it with you. Now rejoice when you have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone, and rejoice when the Lord brings that person back to you and lets you realize that they responded. Maybe someone else ministered to that person. Maybe someone else shared the gospel with that person. But now the Lord has brought that person to you and is asking you to establish a relationship with that person. A relationship that points that person or those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So be thankful for them. Give thanks for these people without ceasing. Thank the Lord that these people responded to the gospel. Thank the Lord that these people are seeking Jesus day in and day out. Thank the Lord that these people, though they have trials and tribulations here on earth, all of us do. But thank the Lord on behalf of those people that they discovered salvation in Jesus Christ and entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ before it was too late. And then do your part to help them grow, right? Because these are people that understood that this is not something that is written by men. This is not something that man came up with. It is, in truth, the Word of God. And be thankful that these people have recognized that. And pray that other people would recognize that. Pray that the Lord would open the eyes of millions of people across the face of this planet to the realities that are contained in this Word. The realities that are contained in the Word of Jesus Christ. Because these words are not just words on pages. These are words that can effectively work in the hearts and minds of people who believe. Real lives can be transformed by studying God's words. Real souls can be saved when you let the Spirit of God speak the gospel through you into someone else's life. So be used by God. Let the Lord work in you to establish relationships, intimate relationships, like a mother, like a father, taking time to care for someone, to invest in someone, to pour into someone, to agonize with someone when they're agonizing, to be sharing their triumphant victories with them when they're victorious, to comfort them when they're scared about something. If you look around right now, you know what's going on in the world with this coronavirus, right? Everyone is scared. But we have promises. We have promises here in the Word of God. Because we have been entrusted with this gospel, and we have a mission to get this out, to share this with people, and to do it in a particular way, right? Again, we have been entrusted this gospel, and then he immediately takes us into relationships, one-on-one types of relationships, such as a mother has with its child, or such as a father has with its child. So the relationships that Jesus wants us to develop, you hear us talking about it around Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach all the time. We call it discipleship. We invest in one another. We disciple one another. We look for ways to spend time with people. We look for ways to point one another to Christ. We look for ways to help each other understand Scripture. We look for ways to help one another apply Scripture to our daily lives. We look for ways to pour into one another. That's what it means to be entrusted with the gospel and to use these relationships that the Lord allows us to have with one another, to invest in one another. So I just want to encourage you in these things today. Don't be afraid. We're all on this whole coronavirus thing right now. We have social distancing. We have to kind of keep our ways. We have to keep our distance from one another. And we're exploring new ways of trying to get the gospel out to one another. That's why we're doing daytime Bible study on camera right now. But we still have opportunities to minister to one another. You have telephones. Pick up the phone and call someone that you know and just talk to them, just chit chat. But have a conversation with them that directs them to the Lord some kind of way. Have a conversation with them that helps them find peace in the midst of all of this chaos that's going on. Have a conversation with someone that helps them helps them understand that they can depend on Jesus. They no longer have to be dependent on whatever type of drug or alcohol they were dependent on. Help someone understand that they can have a relationship with Jesus. They no longer need to be in a toxic relationship that just drags them further and further down into the abyss of this world. Whatever it is that they need, you're taking the time to get to know where they hurt, where they suffer, and through that relationship, you can direct them to Jesus Christ in whatever areas they need. So let's close in prayer right now. Father, I give thanks to you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share your word with others. I pray, Father, that those who are listening, those who are watching, that they would respond to your word, Lord. It is your word that we're talking about. You've entrusted your gospel to us. I pray that you would use us, Lord, that you would help us to examine ourselves and understand how you want us to speak to others, how you want to use us to reach others, to encourage others, Lord, particularly in this time that we're going through right now, where there's a lot of people that are afraid. There are a lot of people where it's just very difficult for us to maintain contact with one another. I pray that you would bridge all of these gaps, Lord, that you would let us take time still to find ways to invest in one another. Relationships are so important to you, Lord. Let relationships be important to us as well. Father, thank you for every person who's viewing this. Thank you for the daytime Bible study. I pray your continuing blessing upon it. I pray, Father, that all of us would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are and what it means to have you as our personal Savior, Lord. Use us, Father, to draw other people to you. Speak to us and speak through us, Lord. Go before us, Father. Keep us all safe. Keep us all healthy. And allow us to join together once again in fellowship, in your presence, and in the presence of one another. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you all for being here. May the Lord keep you and be with you until we meet again.